We are ready to begin the study portion for today's broadcast. We spoke last week. We went through some important verses there in Psalm 119 and examined them in light of an understanding that Yahshua is the living Word that dwelt among us, became flesh, John 1:14. And we're going to continue our journey through Psalm 119. I'm not going to suggest that we're going to read the entire chapter, but we are going to read through the first part of it and some key verses as we go through the down through the line here. So our study portion title, of course, is Psalm 119. To love the law is to love Messiah. That's because he is a illustration of what it is like for one to keep the law of Yahweh. And so if we love the law of Yahweh, then what we're doing when we read the law of Yahweh is we're reading how Yahshua lived his life. And that's something that we should find fascinating, as, you know, we like to have more than just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to explain to us how Yahshua lived. Well, all we got to do is open up the books of Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and you'll find out other ways, other things that he did. If you study in depth and have a correct understanding of what it is that you're reading. So that's the blessing that we're talking about, and that's what we want to continue discussing today as we examine this important chapter of Scripture. I once read a story where there was a young believer in a typical everyday traditional Christian church, and that a pastor was concerned about the young man who was asking many questions out of the Old Testament. And he says, and the pastor told him, well, you need to focus on the New Testament, not read the Old Testament. You get confused. And he says, you can read the Psalms, you know, and Proverbs. So the young believer opened up the Psalms and said, well, here's a nice big one, Psalm 119. Of course, that's directing him back to the rest of Scripture. But the topic of interest, Psalm 119, I recognize, number one, the law cannot save me, it cannot save you. We are completely hopeless unless it be the Messiah Yahshua died for our sins. It is his righteousness that saves me. It is not my own righteousness that saves me. It's not my law-keeping that will save me on that final day. It'll be Yahshua's law-keeping, his Torah observance, that saves me. So I want to get that out of the way. I love Psalm 119 because it's a wonderful psalm. It has a lot to instruct us if we, you know, put it under a microscope and kind of deep-sea dive maybe, as we examine some of the principles and things that are being taught. But, you know, if you're just interested in going into in-depth study and just really the principles involved and things like that, then this is what Psalm 119 is all about. And what's the law really all about? It's all about love. Every commandment given in the law is about loving our Heavenly Father and loving each other. And so how could you say there's something wrong with learning how to love? Learning the different ways our Heavenly Father wants us to love each other and the different ways He desires to be loved in His love language. But it really is, the law really is about love. And so you could just as easily say, I believe in loving, as saying, I believe in observing the Torah. The word Torah is the Hebrew word for law. Actually, it means teaching and instruction. It doesn't really mean law. But, you know, our Heavenly Father did give specific instructions of what it means to love. He could have just said, tell you what, everyone, just love each other and love me and we'll all get along fine. But, you know, then the problem is, everybody has their own idea of what that really means. Some might say, well, you know, adultery is love. Some might say, well, you know, I can tell a lie in this situation, it's love. Other people may feel that murder is even love. If they're murdering their own baby in their womb, they think, well, the baby won't have to live in this terrible world. But, you see, we need clarification. And that's why we read the scriptures, to get clarification on what it really means to love each other. And today we have, confusion on a grand scale of how to live our lives, but we have in front of us the law of Yahweh to teach us exactly what true love is from the perspective of the most wisest and powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing entity in the universe, Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. And so if we would simply submit to His statutes, His ordinances, His commandments, then we would learn and have clarification of what it really means to walk in love, have that clarity, and we would justify Him rather than ourselves or what everyone else thinks love is. We can just look to Him, and He will give us the answer. Well, our first text, picking up where we left off, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." And we talked on this a little bit last week, but once we seek Yahweh with the whole heart, there is a danger at some point. We get a little lax, start to wander away. And to wander from the commandments is to wander from the voice of the great shepherd. Yahshua says, "My sheep know my voice." And so we need to attend to and continually be aware of what our good shepherd is speaking. And He speaks through us, or speaks to us spiritually through the Holy Spirit. He also speaks to us in the Holy Word of Yahweh, which is also the words of the Holy Spirit. It's all the words of the Holy Spirit, whether it's in Deuteronomy, or whether it's in Psalms, or whether it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or 1 Timothy, or James, or Revelation, or wherever. It's all breathed by the Holy Spirit, spoken through men, you know. But we're like sheep, you know. We know the flock's going one way, and Yahshua's calling us one way. We see something really, really interesting over there. Some unique kind of weed to grab a hold of, you know. Some kind of little delicate flower or something looks, tastes really good. And delicacies of the wicked, pretty much. And other things that we don't know will be harmful and toxic to our bodies. But the shepherd knows to keep us away from those toxic things. And He will come and find us, if we're willing, He will take us back home. And that's the goal, is to be ultimately in His house forever, and to be in His flock forever. And we need to be willing to listen to His voice and not wander from those commands. And He will. He will allow, as long as we say, "Oh, I want to remain with you, Yahshua. I'm sorry." And go back into the flock. But if we say, I don't want you leader in my life, I don't want to listen to you, I want to listen to other people and what they have to say, then that's where we find ourselves in danger. Just like we have children, sometimes teenager-age children tend to look at their friends sometimes and see what their friends are doing and say, "Hey, how come I'm not doing that?" And even though we know it's harmful, you know, they want to do what other people are saying, and we know what's good for them, and they don't want to do that. They want to do what others are doing. And we're the same way. We have Heavenly Father in heaven. We look at what other people are doing, and we get envious, and we end up being tempted to do the things they're doing, and we don't want to do that. We want to stay close and keep our eyes on Yahshua. Now, Yahshua uses us as instruments to be our shepherd's arms, to be our shepherd's voice, to bring people back into the flock, especially if they're not listening to Him, you know, speaking into their conscience, then He can use us to go and bring someone who is wandering away from the commandments. In James chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know. Let a sinner, he who turns a sinner from the error of his way, will save a multitude, save a soul from death, and cover a multitude of sins. And so that's our thought. I hope the people we understand, we desire to walk in the law of Yahweh. We don't want to be a people who are a sinning people. And we see someone transgressing the law, and they're wandering away from the truth, because the law of Yahweh is the truth. John 17:17, your word is truth. And we want to save them from death. We love them. I think too often, some of us might have a tendency, we see someone wandering away from the truth, and we'll go, oh, that's just too bad. Look at them. They're falling away. That's just really awful. I'll pray for them. And then we don't go to them. We don't look for them. We don't call them. We don't say anything to them. And we just kind of, you know, are too content to let them go. And they'll be wondering too, oh, where is everybody? You know, I thought they cared about me. They see I'm going the wrong way. I know I'm going the wrong way. But no one's coming over to strengthen me and to, you know, put their arm around me and say, hey, you're going the wrong way. And they think, well, I guess nobody really cares. And then that's even greater temptation. And so we need to be the kind of people who are willing to care about someone who is wandering away from what he knows is right. And we all know is right. And it's part of love. That's part of what love really is, saving other souls from death. And so, if their attitudes are, well, you know, I don't care about the commands anymore, and I don't care about my multitude of sins, and well, I guess, you know, we do our best to turn them back to the Good Shepherd, but if they don't want to listen, then there's little we can do from there except for pray that Yahweh will give them proper discipline, and they'll see the error of their way. So, anyway, we see the psalmist saying, crying out, let me not wander from your commandments. He knows it's his tendency to do that. It's where our eyes look a lot of times. If our eyes are on the straight and narrow, then we will go where our eyes tend to lead us. And so the Proverbs says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Focus on where you're going. Look where you're going, son. Look where you're going, daughter. Pay attention. You ever heard that from a parent? Hey, look out. Look where you're going. Driving down the road, most accidents, maybe the majority, are because people don't look where they're going. They're not pondering the path of their vehicle. And if you ponder the path of your vehicle, you're less likely to get smashed into something ahead of you. And so we got to ponder the path of our feet spiritually. Where are we going? Where are our eyes? Scripture says that hell and destruction, or grave and destruction, are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. And so you're a sheep, you're looking at that little delicacy over there, and you're thinking about wandering over there away from the shepherd and going that direction. Don't do it. It's only going to do you harm in the end. It's only going to harm you. So let all your ways be established. All your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. So go straight ahead. There are two religions out there, I see. One's on the right, one's on the left. One's Judaism in its mainstream form, its traditional form. One is Christianity in its traditional form. And they've strayed from the straight and narrow. And the path is right down in the middle in between them. We have to embrace the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yahshua. Revelation 14:12, here's the patience of the saints. And so don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. It's right down the middle, with no baggage of either religion. Traditions of men of both religions, which are vain and unprofitable, beware of those. So look straight ahead. Remove your foot from evil. It's where we look. It's where our eyes are. So the eyes If your eye is good, then the rest of you is good. So where's your eyes looking? If you know, you ever driving a vehicle and the car's got their brights on in the opposite direction? You know, if you don't look at the bright lights, you just look directly at the road, you won't be blinded by it. You tend to drive toward where you're looking at. And if you're looking at the bright lights, they say you tend to steer wherever you're looking, and so don't look at the bright lights. Look at the road, look at the fog line alongside the road. So wherever you're looking, pay attention, because there are 1,000 sheep in your face going the wrong direction. but our Heavenly Father, Yahshua, is all saying, come my way, go my direction. They're all traveling the wrong way. And so we say, excuse me, I'm going a different direction, because at the end of where you're going, there is a cliff. And I have a different shepherd. I'm in a different flock. And call them as they're passing along the way to make a U-turn and follow a different flock. And so how do we keep our eyes where they need to be? Scripture says this, Colossians 3:1. If you're raised with Messiah, seek those things which are above, where Messiah is, sitting at the right hand of Elohim. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died. You died. Did you know that? You died. You died, and your life is hidden with Messiah and Elohim. So it's no longer you living, Yahshua living in you, so set your mind on things where He is, where Messiah is. Things above, spiritual things. Be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is only death and destruction. So focus on the spiritual things, on the shepherd. And if the shepherd comes, don't run away from him. Let him take you up in his arms, carry you in his bosom, and bring you back to where you belong in the flock. Psalm 119, verse 10 and 11 says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. It's actually a popular song in Christian circles, you know, to sing this, your word have I hid in my heart. Well, that word that's being spoken of is the Torah. It's the commandments of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. The whole thing the psalm is talking about is the law that was given through Moses, or Moshe in Hebrew. And so having Yahweh's word placed right here in the heart, if we can put Yahweh's word right there in our hearts, it will have a way of empowering us to not sin against Him when the word is placed in our hearts, and gives us therefore the power to be overcomers. And so this is one thing that a lot of people think is only a New Testament concept. Oh, His word's in our heart now. And, you know, back then, you know, He was only concerned with the external things and the things that were on the outside and how you conducted yourself on the outside. Well, if that was true, why was Yahshua just blasting the scribes and Pharisees for only washing the outside of the cup and not the inside? He was always concerned about the heart. In fact, circumcision of the heart is already written in the Old Testament in the Torah. The book of Deuteronomy talks about that. And in fact, the book of Deuteronomy talks about the word of Yahweh being in our hearts. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 says, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you. Not too mysterious for you. It is, nor is it afar off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? So where is this commandment? Where is it? The word is very near you, in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. So that's the key. Having Yahweh's word in our mouth and in our hearts. You know what? they did a study about, I think about a year ago, of adults who remained in the faith as children, from the time they were children. They did not depart from the faith. They did not go off into the world. They remained in the faith. And they tried to figure out what was the big thing that made the difference. And you know what it was? It was the family gathered on a regular basis, sat down, and read the scriptures. That was the most common reason. You know, and the word became indwelled into the hearts of the children, and they were able to do it. That's why he says, teach them when you rise up, when you lie down. You plant the word in there and let the word do its work. So, anyway, now, Paul quotes this verse in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 6, says, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That's to bring Messiah down from above. Do you see how he's correlating the word, the Torah, with the Messiah? So the word's being spoken of here. He says this commandment which I command you today, he's talking about the commandments in the Torah. This whole book of Deuteronomy is a summary of the whole law that was given. Okay? So the word is very near you, the word very near you. It says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That's to bring Messiah down from above. The word or the Messiah, one and the same, down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Messiah up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your heart, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, they are preaching Torah. And they are preaching Messiah and faith in Him. It's all one and the same. So, it is a beautiful concept here. If you really examine this closely, the law is the word of faith that was being preached. It's all Yahweh's teaching. Even the gospel, the teaching of the gospel, the good news of Yahshua, is a part of Yahweh's teaching. It's a part of His law. It's a part of what He has to say to us, and how we need to put our faith in Him is actually a commandment. We're keeping a commandment by putting our faith in Yahshua for the forgiveness of sin. And so, it's all interwoven. It's all together. And so we confess with our mouth the Master Yahshua. We confess with our mouth the Master Yahshua and believe in our heart, Elohim raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is our faith in Yahshua ultimately that saves us. But our faith in Yahshua is not without works. It's not without some kind of repentance that should be naturally attached to that. So Yahweh's goal is to bring His word from point A to point B, from His mouth to our hearts. And the actual teaching of the new covenant is this. Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Find it interesting. No Gentiles mentioned here. But we become Israel, we become Judah, when we become a part of the body of the Messiah. He was a Israelite. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Once again, after those days, says Yahweh, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. He did it once before. Okay. But this is a unique manifestation. What makes it unique is He's doing it through the Messiah Yahshua. When the Messiah Yahshua dwells in our hearts, that is actually the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. That is the Word that is being put in our hearts. He is the living Word. He is being put in our hearts. And because He is there, He cleanses our hearts so that we can be seen as righteous before our Heavenly Father, and our sins are no longer remembered. And so we have the Word of Yahweh in our heart when we embrace the new covenant and we accept the Messiah's indwelling, and we can be sure that since the Messiah lives in us, and that means the living Torah, the living law of Yahweh, is now dwelling in us, and therefore it's going to reflect on the outer layer through obedience to it because of His indwelling. He is the one directing us away from law-breaking and into keeping the words of Yahweh. So, when the psalmist says, "Your word I've hidden in my heart," well, that's wonderful. But it is ultimately Yahweh's doing that brings the word into our heart. We're people, though, we're prone to forgetting. You know, we're prone to forget what Yahweh's word has said. We're forgetful people, but we do have Yahweh's Spirit to remind us of the Word if we're willing to listen. You see, the shepherd's always leading. That's never a question. It's whether we're listening. The Holy Spirit's always leading. It's the only question is whether we are listening. And if we are listening, then we will gain His leadership. If we care to listen to Him, we will be led in paths of righteousness, no doubt. We pursue wisdom. We want wisdom. He will teach us. In fact, it says, Yahshua said to the disciples, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come." So the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and will give us truth, and will guide us into all truth. His word is truth. John 17:17. He's the Word in Genesis, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, the Psalms, the Proverbs, Isaiah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul's letters, all of it. It's all Yahweh's words. And so the work of the Spirit is to guide us into all truth. That's the work of the Spirit. And because whether we follow that leading is up to us. But He will teach us the Torah by His Spirit. And the goal that Yahweh has is not to just keep cleansing us over and over again for our sins. His goal is that we would walk out our repentance and bear fruits worthy of that repentance, and that we would stop sinning. We turn away from sin. And what is sin? According to 1 John 3:4, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of a law. King James Version. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Yahweh's word is not a mixed message. It's all about love. It's all about love. But when we read a commandment to do something, for instance, the Sabbath day, to honor the Sabbath and to remember it and to keep it holy, that is an expression of love toward our Heavenly Father. And if our earthly father, say our earthly father gave us a gift, it had been handed down from generation to generation. We don't know how long, but it had been given to us, and we took that gift. Would it be loving to our earthly father if we took that gift and said, "Well, I'm going to smash it on the ground, step all over it, and disregard it"? Certainly not. Well, our Heavenly Father has given us the gift of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath was made for man. And so if the Sabbath was made for man, and we ignore it, we're ignoring a gift He is offering to us. It's not something we want to trample on and treat like a common everyday thing. We're called to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that's an expression of love toward our Heavenly Father. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four, maybe the fifth one, are how we love or love Him. Put no other Elohim before Him. Don't make an idol and bow down to it. Don't take His name in vain. And remember the Sabbath day. And the fifth commandment is that we would honor our Heavenly Father or our earthly father and mother. So But some reason people don't see those commands as expressions of love anymore. I was looking at a video by a man named Kent Hovind. It has remarkable, very good points about creationism versus evolution, and some pretty good, strong points. But he's completely lost when it comes to Sabbath, because someone asked him the question about the Sabbath, and he said, well, the Sabbath wasn't even kept for the first 3,500 years, or something like that. And I thought, well, okay, Yahweh set apart and made it holy, and then he said, yeah, you don't have to be holy like me. You don't have to walk in my image. You can do what you want. You know, the very first day after Adam was created, Yahweh rested. Adam would have seen that, and what would he have done if he was created in Yahweh's image? He would have walked it out. Now, he said there's no commandment, you know, before the Torah was given to keep the Sabbath. Does that mean that, you know, people could commit all kinds of things that weren't really commanded? Could they commit adultery? Could they commit lying? Could they commit, could they dishonor their parents? Could they covet their neighbor's possessions? There's no commandment there about those things in the book of Genesis. There's no commandment, that you have to respect Yahweh's name. Or, in fact, there's no commandment in the book of Genesis that you're not allowed to worship other deities. There's a lot of the Ten Commandments that are not mentioned, prior to the giving of the Torah or giving of the Ten Commandments. And so, as we say, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Just because it's not mentioned doesn't mean it wasn't there. That's a big mistake if you take that principle and carry it out, what could happen to you. But anyway, through progressive revelation, we learned that the Sabbath is important, and I'd hope that you would, if you haven't looked at this, re-examine it. It's one of the Ten Commandments, and if we choose to transgress His law, as simple as this, you're sinning. It's that simple. And so Kent Hovind, while he has some very good points about creationism, he's been confronted about the Sabbath, and this point's not persuaded it's a sin, and among other things. But so if you find yourself in transgression of the law at any point, it means we're lacking in love somewhere. Somehow we're lacking in love. And so we make it our mantra call that we are, rotten sinners, and we've been saved from death. And that's important, but we're not supposed to be, walking in rottenness anymore. We're supposed to be living the way Yahshua lived. Anything other than that is simply not love. If you're not living as He did, you're failing in love in some way. And He did keep the Sabbath day. So, but whoever wrote this psalm obviously loved Yahweh's law. He just begged Yahweh to teach him. He longed for the commandments. Do we do that? Blessed are you, Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. We're called to do and to teach them. As we cry out to Yahweh, will you please teach me your commandments? Please show me any way in me that's not pleasing to you. I don't want to listen to other people who tell me not to do your commandments. I want to listen to you, Father Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your word. And He will. You long to hear the shepherd's voice. It's right there in the Holy Word. Yahweh wants to place His word in our heart. That's a promise of the new covenant. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Why? Why is He declaring it? Because the word of Yahweh is hidden in His heart. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. But why do you call me Master, Master, but not do the things that I say? So the word was in his heart, and therefore he just had to declare them. You know, when we first hear about the good thing that Yahweh has taught us about the keeping the commandments and why it's important and all that, we just, you know, we filled our heart with his word, and we want to just go out and tell everybody. And that's part of why, because the word now, it's a new thing that's in our heart, and we want to express the things that are in our hearts. But we do need to get good grounded very well, because sometimes, you know, I was saying last night in the gathering, it's like we get this new, shiny new sword, and we're looking at it, and we're like, wow, look at that. You know, and then we don't know how to handle it correctly, and we're 85-pound sword, you know, we're cutting people with it, and we got to make sure we handle it lawfully. The law is good if you handle it lawfully. So if we have a law in our hearts, handle it lawfully. But we, you know, what's in our heart, you know, our mouth is going to eventually, it's going to come out somewhere. Scripture says, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So you got to put Yahweh's word in your heart. And not just the part of the word that says do this and do that, but also walk in love. Use the law lawfully. Walk in patience. Walk in long-suffering. And so with that law, you have to use it lawfully. And so we treasure it. We treasure the word. Psalm 119:14, I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. You know, the people that win the lottery, they often rejoice that they've got all these riches. They got all this money now. You know, and the psalmist here is rejoicing in Yahweh's testimony as if he just won the lottery. Think about that. To have understanding of Yahweh's ways are, spiritually speaking, the true riches that will never perish. And those that win the lotteries or those that gain earthly riches, they'll see that everything they have will perish with them. Ecclesiastes 5:15, as he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor with which he may carry away in his hand. Can't take it with you. But if you gain wisdom from the study of Yahweh's word, you find true riches that will never rust, never rot, never perish. That's why David said, Psalm 19:10, more to be desired are they than gold, yet a much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. We believe that? We value Messiah and his riches and the words of Yahweh more than the riches of this world. So many people are chasing the buck, the dollar. And every year the dollar gets weaker and weaker, less and less able to buy things. But you know, Yahweh's riches never lose their value. And we'll find as we apply them, they begin to increase our value to us. It's actually so much better. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Proverbs 16:16. In fact, in many ways, the gain of silver, gain of gold, gain of houses, gain of riches, gain of cars and belongings and stuff, the more we gain those things, the more difficult it is to focus on the real priorities. It's because of all this stuff in the way, taking up our time. But Yahshua warned us. I said it last week, I think. It's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of Elohim. That's a pretty profound statement. Now, the Aramaic suggests maybe the word camel means rope, rather than actual, you know, camel. Either way, it's not too easy for a rope to go through a needle, is it? Yet, but it is possible. With Elohim, all things are possible. So, I'm not knocking anyone who has money. Scripture actually says, you just don't seek what you should eat, what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. All these things nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you need those things. But seek the kingdom of Elohim, and all these things shall be added to you. So he'll provide your material possessions if you just seek his kingdom first. Do not fear, little flock. It is your for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then he says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide many bags for yourselves that do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this psalmist treasured the word of Yahweh, and that's why the word of Yahweh was in his heart. And so that's the beautiful thing about it. So with your possessions, Proverbs 3:9, whatever number of possessions Yahweh provides for you, he says, honor Yahweh with your possessions, the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns shall be filled with, will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So it's not evil to have possessions, but you must take them for the glory of our Heavenly Father. Put them first. Seek first the kingdom of Elohim and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And don't fear. He's willing to give you the kingdom. All right. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Beautiful words here. 15:16, I don't know if I have it on here or not, but it says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. So, if you think meditating on the precepts, it doesn't matter that much, read that psalm. I will meditate on your precepts. And Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the righteous, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh. In his law he meditates day and night. That's the pathway of blessing. If you spend some time reading his word, he's not saying you have to read the word all day and all night. He's saying meditate on it. Think about it. When a sheep goes out in the pasture, I go out in the pasture, he just starts gobbling up all the weeds and practically swallow a whole, barely even chew it. But then later they sit down in a shady spot in the grass and just start chewing the cud. And so you read the word, you take the things that interest you, and then you meditate on them. And you think about them and let Yahweh teach you by His Spirit from there as you meditate. And you meditate His precepts, not just when reading it, but when you're done reading it. Contemplating our ways, contemplating His ways. So when you're reading Scripture, the goal is not you, oh, look at this nice novel, and then you forget about it. The goal is that those words would take root in your heart and bear fruit. And it first requires a heart that has a good soil. A good heart that has a good soil is like the heart of this psalmist here, and whoever wrote Psalm 119, he delighted in Yahweh's statutes, and therefore he treasured them, and he did not forget them. And he meditated on them, he thought about them. And so we think about it, we say, well, is there any ways I need to better conform myself to something I just read? Some people, they'll read the Scriptures, and, oh, nice little tales I get to read here. It's so fun, you know, to read these stories. And they get something more difficult, like commandments. Kind of boring to them, because they're not pursuing righteousness. They're not pursuing holiness. Other people, like, you know, read through Scripture, what can I learn through this? What do I need to change in myself so I can be what I'm supposed to be, like Yahshua? I mean, my pursuit is that I would seek to be just like Him. And so when I'm reading the Torah, I'm reading how He lived. I'm reading the Scripture, this thing in the law, even if it's the New Testament. Or an example you see in Kings or Chronicles or something in the Psalms, there's something where I'm falling short here. because I love Yahweh, I want to not fall short. And you start reading Yahweh's word like that, and the whole thing opens up, and he'll show you wondrous things out of his law. And so we want to spend time meditating on the law of Yahweh. But first you have to delight in it. Your delight must be in the law of Yahweh. If your delight is not in his law, then you're not going to meditate on it. You're not going to think about it because you don't delight in it. But to whoever wrote the psalm, it was better than gold. It was better than gaining any kind of riches. And is that our hearts? Is that how we are before our Heavenly Father? Do we treasure his words? Do we long to hear the shepherd's voice? There are other voices out there. Different counsel, different ideas. Got the counsel of the unrighteous. They love to tell you their counsel, inspired by the enemy. The serpent was being used by Satan, spoke through the serpent, and gave the serpent his counsel. The serpent spoke his counsel. And so he became a sinner. Adam and Eve became sinners. And now the world was a big mess after that. But if our delight is in Yahweh's law, his counsel, then we will hear other voices of other shepherds who are leading us in other directions, or we will see the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and we'll pursue our own counsel. But we have to be careful, because first we hear the counsel of the wicked. First, you know, you're just kind of standing around listening, and then first you're walking in the council, and you're standing there, and pretty soon you're sitting there, and you want to hear it more. And so it all starts walking and standing and then sitting. So don't do it. Don't hang out among the congregation of the dead. There's no life in it. Don't walk there. Don't stand there. Don't be sitting there. Don't even listen to them. Walk straight. Let the path that Yahweh has set be. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. That's the counsel in Yahweh's word. So, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Get this? It's pretty awesome. Yahweh's word, he says he wants his word to be continually around us. On our hands, as between our eyes, on our doorposts, on our gates. Talk about them when we sit down, when we walk, and when we rise up. So, where you sit, where you walk, and where you stand, that's what you do when you rise up, is important. Where you walk, where you stand, where you sit. So, we want to hear, we want our children as we sit, as we walk, as we rise up, we want them to hear the word of Yahweh. And we want to hear the word of Yahweh. It's as a sign. It doesn't say that literally it's there, but as a sign on our hand. Something that's always before you, something you're continually thinking about. And so that way, if anything, any lie of the enemy comes along, you immediately recognize the counterfeit. You study the truth, and then you find the counterfeit. Just like whenever an agent is looking for counterfeit bills, he doesn't study all the different ways that people counterfeit their bills. He studies the real McCoy, the real dollar bill or $100 bill, and then based on that, he can recognize whenever there's a counterfeit. So you study the truth. You don't have to study all these other things. Study the truth, and then you'll recognize it whenever there is something impure, something that is not correct, something foreign. You're going to look at that and you go, what is that garbage? That don't look right. Get out of here. Rebuke you in Yahshua's name. Reject that thought in Yahshua's name. I want no part of whatever that is. And we will begin to appreciate Yahweh's word as it does its work in our hearts. Verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. You see the motivation here for receiving goodness? He wants to be dealt bountifully with, that he may live and that he may keep the word of Yahweh. That's his motivation. His motivation for having a bountiful, blessed life is that he may live and keep the word. So that, you know, when things are going well, we're not facing trial and temptation, it's just a little easier to keep Yahweh's word. So when we're on a path of temptation, it's, you know, a little more difficult to keep. And that's when Yahshua said, what's going on here? But for some reason, I keep posting it in my PowerPoint. It keeps disappearing for some reason. I don't understand it. But my next verse was Matthew 6:13. Do not lead us to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever. That's part of Yahshua's prayer. We don't want to be in temptation. We don't want to face difficulties and trials. And if Yahweh wills it, it's not a bad thing. It's also for our good. But we don't want to die. We want to live and keep his word rather than fall into temptation and risk the possibility of sin. And so we pray, lead us out of temptation. Keep us from the evil one. Now, when we pass the test, Yahweh says he gives the crown of life to those who love him. But the trials are there, and we accept them. And it does make us stronger in the end, but also very difficult. But we really want to not fall away. And that's what this psalmist is saying. I don't want to fall away. I don't want to be tempted. Keep me from temptation. Deal bountifully with me. So may I live and keep your word. Bless my life. I may live and keep your word. Beautiful thoughts here. Verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I like this verse a lot. I'd say that's what happens. You know, you ask Yahweh to open your eyes, and things that you look at, you just go, that is incredible. That is marvelous, extraordinary, beyond our power. I mean, so many times I look at Yahweh's word, and I just say, you know, how could something just be so awesome and be made by man? No way in the world. It was not inspired by the Most High. And so, but Yahweh has to open our eyes to it, right? Open my eyes, he says to Yahweh, that I may see wondrous things from your law. And so the psalmist is praying here, Yahweh will give him understanding and see more wonderful things. And these things are foreign to what we see today, you know. Today we have like, you keep me from your law because I, you know, it's all done away with, it's abolished. The truth is, there are wondrous things in his law, if we're willing to examine and look and study. And so we are saying, don't hide your commandments from us. Right? I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. I want to know what your commandments are. Don't hide them. I know I'm a foreigner here. This is not my home. Don't hide your commandments. I want to be all you called me to be. Can we say that? Do we pray that? Yahweh, reveal to me your wisdom. Don't hide your commandments from me. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I love the heart of the man who wrote this psalm. I just think it's beautiful. You know, sometimes you can read his law. I mean, you read the words. But there are things in there you don't even understand he's saying. So don't assume it's because you read through the whole Bible one time that you've learned all you got to learn. Oh no, that's just, you're just getting started. There's a whole lot more. If you stop, it's like we're going through Psalm 119 here. If you just stop and meditate and study and examine, there's all kind of things you can pull out of different verses. And ask Yahweh to open your eyes. And the psalmist knew that. And he's like, well, you know, I've read that before. You ever had that happen to you? I've read that, I don't know how many times, it wasn't until now I realized. This means that over there, or this is a new way of seeing this and a more fantastic way of looking at it. And not that what I actual literal meaning is anything wrong, but the literal meaning is great, but then there's a deeper meaning than the literal meaning. You know, don't hide your commandments from me. His desire is that we would know more about how to walk as Yahshua walked. Yahweh wants us to manifest his life and show the world how he lived. And so we're saying, you know, don't hide your commandments from me. Open my ears, open my eyes, and may see wondrous things out of your law. The scribes and Pharisees, they heard, but they did not hear. They saw, but they couldn't see. They were like the idols they followed, dumb idols. Seeing, they couldn't see. Hearing, they couldn't hear. Mouths they had, they could not speak. And he said, those who make them are like them. In Psalm 115. So, you know, you'll be blind. And if you're not interested in hearing, then you won't hear. So we've got to put Yahweh in his place. All of a sudden, get the idols out of our hearts, out of our minds. He will start opening our eyes. And that's an ongoing journey. It never ends, never stops. Never assume you reach a certain level of maturity and now you're a retired believer. You're done working now. Sit back, get your spiritual pension. No, we are always constantly a work in progress, no matter what our age is. You know, one thing I respect when I hear of an older person come into this walk and they receive it. I respect them so much, and I'll tell you why. Because they spent their whole life thinking one direction, and they were humble enough to recognize it was the wrong direction. So many people get into their older years and they get cemented and get stuck, and they're not growing anymore. And I respect people I know who are up in age and yet very much seeking the will of our Heavenly Father. Angelica Hughes, Ramona Mann, many more. Bill Hood, I respect every one of you. I know how tough it can be to unlearn all that stuff that, you know, may have missed, but not learned correctly. So, but don't ever stop growing. Even after you've figured out you're supposed to keep the law, now is a whole new world. It's like the first two-thirds of Yahweh's word, you realize, actually applies to you. And so, wow. Imagine that. There's a whole world that's going to open up now. So you're just getting your feet wet. And, you know, but recognize that the more you learn, the more you're accountable for. I had a gentleman ask me yesterday, so how long you been, you know, in this understanding of, you know, keeping the feasts and all this? I said, well, yeah, this will be my 29th Passover. I said, but that doesn't make me any better than you. It just makes me more responsible. And it's true. It doesn't make me any better. In fact, I might be in more trouble being one who is out here teaching people Yahweh's words, so pray that I don't falter. But it's a lifelong journey. And I never get tired of it. The word of Yahweh never gets old. It's a lifelong journey of understanding how to live, how to walk, how to conduct ourselves, and a journey of learning our own hearts and the things that are in our hearts that need to change. You never really reach the end, because it's an ongoing journey that Yahweh continually teaches you until you draw your last breath on the earth. And so as long as your heart is yearning for more, there is no end to his wisdom. No end to it. It says his understanding is infinite, the scriptures say. And so, isn't that wonderful, even though he has infinite understanding, he is willing to look down upon us because of the blood of Yahshua, the Messiah, and accept us right where we are. There's not a perfect man on the planet. He'll accept us right where we are, and we want to have Messiah in us completely and perfectly and fully, and that's a heart Yahweh can work with. It's when we give up, when we walk away, and we say, whatever. What is the reason? You ever wonder about this? What's the reason why there's so many different interpretations of Scripture? Everywhere you go, someone's got a different take on everything. They don't always contradict. Sometimes they do. But why do you find people having such contradictory views of the Scriptures? Why is that? I found there are 7 reasons. There's more, but here's at least 7. I posted this to my Facebook here recently. 7 reasons why there is so many different interpretations. Now, there's more than 7, again. But here's some key ones. Number 1, personal bias. Wanting to find reasons to explain away the need to do what it says. And Brother Bill Williams pointed out this is self-worship. Wanting to find reasons to get out of doing what he says. 2, relying on pastors. Some have relied on seminary teachers or who have then relied on church fathers and who also have their personal biases. That's leader worship. The preference for tradition and traditional views, assuming the mainstream culture must be correct. That's culture worship. 4, fear of what others may say of you. If you were to do what Scripture actually taught you, compare yourself to others rather than to the Messiah, that's worshiping your friends and peers. Laziness, not wanting to invest time and energy into actually doing an in-depth study to discover the true meaning of things, lacking a true love for our Heavenly Father. And that's leisure worship. And being content to just play religion. And thus the actual meaning of Scripture is not really all that important to you because you're content to stick with what the basics are and not really grow beyond that. It's self-worship and leisure worship. 7, our parents, grandparents, all their great-grandparents, X number of generations, they are part of this particular church, and therefore I'm not going to change. Good enough for them is good enough for me. It's ancestor worship. So our walk with Messiah is progressive, it's in flux, it's dynamic, it's not static. And we need to continue to grow and learn to do as he teaches us. And so here's a psalmist. He's saying, you know, I've kept your commands and all these things. And yet he says, open my eyes. Let me see wondrous things from your law. Don't hide your commandments from me. That's love. That's true love. I love the journey. How about you? You love the journey? I love the journey. It's an awesome journey. We don't have to sit and think, you know, he doesn't accept me until I complete my journey. No. We don't have to say, I don't live up to his law yet, and I'm waiting to be perfect so he'll accept me. No, it's not the way it works. Excuse me, but when did Messiah die for the perfect ones? I don't remember reading that. I think it was the imperfect ones he actually died for, who are willing to turn their heart away from things that are not, things that are vain and worthless, and turn their heart and way and ways and eyes toward the things that are right. And that's why the psalmist, even though, you know, he recognizes he has his own areas of blindness, he's accepted by our Heavenly Father because he's crying out for more understanding. And he says, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Oh, wow. I love it. Not sometimes. Not always. Not just sometimes. But at all times. You think of some times, maybe even recently, that you weren't longing for his judgments and commandments and statutes and laws, you're kind of going your own way and doing something you shouldn't be doing. Need to manifest the right heart before Elohim. And long for them at all times. Every circumstance. Every situation you can fathom. This psalmist wanted Yahweh's ways. He wanted righteous judgments to come in. He wanted to see Yahweh's ways accomplished in the earth. And as you know, others don't see the thing that drives us. But we recognize that we are strangers in the earth. People look at you and they think, what are you doing? You've gone off the deep end. But we're like the psalmist, crying out for Yahweh to open our eyes. We're like the man, the blind man, along the road, Yahshua walking by. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Yahshua says, what do you want me to do? Let's open my eyes that I may see. And so we cry out together, Son of David, have mercy on us that we may see. And Yahshua has many things to teach us, and he will teach us little by little every day if we want to learn. That's why I don't condemn those who don't see the things I see. It's all about your own personal relationship with the Almighty. You are his workmanship and not mine. It's learning. It's growing. Even Acts 15, the apostles, they respected Yahweh's leadership in the life of the Gentiles who were turning to Yahweh and saying, let's give them some things to get them started, you know, refrain from blood and from sexual immorality and things strangled and this kind of thing, and, you know, and then they'll learn the rest when they hear the law in the synagogue. Which that assumes they're going to synagogue to learn the law. That's the whole basis for the ruling. And Kent Hovind said, I saw where he said, well, the Acts 15, that's the only thing in the law of Moses you need to keep. And or something like that. And it's like, none of those things are from the law of Moses. They're all from the time before the law was given. He said, Genesis 9:3, don't eat the blood with the meat. Sexual immorality was condemned at Sodom and Gomorrah. So obviously idolatry, hopefully we see that, is not appropriate. But, you know, that's not just a Law of Moses thing. But, you know, we have to respect other people, even as I respect Ken Hovind. I disagree with him on this. Yahweh knows where his heart is. I don't pretend to know. I just think he's wrong on some things. So learning and growing, it's a daily thing. None of us sit down at the dinner table and eat everything you're going to eat for the next month, right? The next 20 years. And, I mean, our bodies wouldn't be able to handle everything. We'd be hungry again in a day. I mean, it's just too much at once. Can't digest everything in one sitting. And that's how the apostles treated Gentiles who were new to keeping Torah, to keeping the law of Yahweh. They knew they'd be learning the law every week in a synagogue, and so let Yahweh lead them. They obviously had the Holy Spirit. It was manifesting itself. They saw it themselves. And the Spirit would guide them into all truth. But we're all in different places along the narrow path. And just because one person knows more than the other doesn't mean they're any better or even further ahead. It's all about, what are you doing with what you know? What are you doing with what you've learned already? That's what matters. Give me someone who is walking out 95% of what he's learned over someone who knows, you know, 50% more, but then only walking out 50% of it. And so we got to stay humble. We got to stay humble. And you know, we need to pursue, be in pursuit of the truth. And because knowledge can puff up, but don't let that puff you up. Instead, understand the purpose of the law is love, 2 Timothy chapter 1. From pure heart, from a sincere faith, from a good conscience, and then you understand it's all about love. So, now, the next verse says, you rebuke the proud. the cursed, who stray from your commandments. If we stray from his commandments, we are putting ourselves under a curse. One who strays indicates one who is formerly keeping them, but then straying away from them. So straying away like the from the voice of the shepherd, right? And so if we see someone who's straying, we should seek to bring them back, as I mentioned. We should seek to bring them back. And but if we're straying away, we need to know that Yahshua will come looking for us. And when he comes looking for us, we need to be willing to follow him once again. All right, so it's all, and sometimes, you know, he'll spank us, you know, because we strayed away. Give us a little pain, a little unpleasantries, and because Yahweh loves, he corrects. This is the Father in his soul, the Son in whom he delights, he corrects. Yahweh said in Deuteronomy 8:5, all the way back in the Torah, you should know in your heart, Yahweh, as man chastens his son, so Yahweh, your mighty one, chastens you. And if you're getting chastened, then it shows that Yahweh loves you. For whom Yahweh loves, he chastens. Hebrews 12:6, the scourge is every son whom he receives. Every son gets a scourging. If you endure chastening, Elohim deals with you as with sons, for what son is there among whom a father does not chasten? But if you're without chastening, you're not getting corrected. You're not being going through some negative thing. We're in bad shape. Could mean you're illegitimate. He knows your heart is obstinate, and you're in a wrong path. And so if you are, turn back to the right path. Now, sometimes it could be that Yahweh will allow you to prosper even when you stray from his word. And you wonder, you say, you know I have not been living right. Why am I prospering? Why are things going well? And you think, I guess maybe the scriptures aren't true that say I would be cursed, and because the reality is I'm flourishing. I'm doing great. Having the best time of my life right now. Doing my own thing. Look out. Look out. Scripture says this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it says they will, it is that they may be destroyed forever. Yahweh is not blessing you. All of a sudden, something can happen, and he can end your life any moment. He has no obligation. He can end your life at any moment. And you will be in the place of torment. And so it's serious trouble if you're prospering. And people wonder why the wicked spring up like grass and just, you know, they just flourish. It's not good for them. That's not a blessing for them. No, that's not a good thing for them. It's actually a terrible thing. That they suffer no consequences for their wrongs. That means Yahweh is saying, yeah, I'm going to put all their consequences on the other side of you. You know, of when I judge them on the day of judgment. Yeah, they'll get theirs. Don't think that they're, you know, they're in a good place. They're not. That just means that Yahweh is not going to judge them now. He's going to judge them later. And it's better to be judged now than be judged later. Right? Absolutely. So, yeah. So when they flourish, when they do well, it's not good for them. It's good for them if Yahweh rebukes them. And he allows them to suffer the curses. It's when someone's walking in wickedness and doing well. That's not good. It's not good for them. Not a good sign. It means they're not sons. They're not his. But they can change. Anyone can change. You can change. If you feel that's you, I don't know who you are out there. If you feel that's you, you can change. Just recognize that, you know, sometimes walking the way of Yahweh is a more difficult and a more narrow path. Here's an interesting one. He says, remove from me reproach and contempt. Here's a man who walks in the law of Yahweh, yet he faces reproach and contempt. Why? Because he's kept the testimonies of Yahweh. When we walk in a way that's different than the world, we're going to get reproach. We're going to get contempt. It's just going to happen. Expect it. Be looking for it. It'll happen. Okay? Because people, their conscience is being bothered by what you're doing, and they want to see you fall, so their conscience will not bother them anymore. Now, I find this interesting because he says, I have kept your testimonies. Did he? I mean, because another place he said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. And so which is it? Is he keeping the testimonies? Or is he ashamed when he looks at them? Because he knows his ways are not directed to keeping them. It's not a contradiction. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abia. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before Elohim, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Master, blameless. Probably should be Yahweh here. But blameless. Does that mean they never sinned one time in their entire life? No. No, everyone has. We've all fallen short. Is that us? Are we blameless? How about these men? You know, are these men righteous? Is Zechariah really righteous? How do you define righteousness? If you keep the commandments and ordinances of Yahweh, it says you're righteous. So they're both righteous. Why? They kept the commandments, they kept the ordinances of Yahweh. So, another example. Here's a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with Elohim. Perfect. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, Yahweh speaking to Solomon, and the integrity of your heart and uprightness to do according to all I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and judgments, he's, you know, giving them his condition. Now, if you walk before me as David walked, integrity, uprightness. Integrity and uprightness. Didn't David, like, murder a guy and commit adultery? And yet Yahweh says he walked in integrity and uprightness. A man after his own heart. All right. The truth is, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Do we really know him do we really keep his commandments? Does that mean if we fail or mess up, we no longer know him and we're no longer his and no longer blameless and no longer say, oh, we're Torah-keeping men and women? And here are people say that to you, well, you're not keeping the law because you're doing this, that, or whatever, or, you know, they got their reasons why you think it's impossible to keep. And you say, no, we believe in keeping Torah. Now, if we mess up sometimes, we can get forgiveness, but they say, well, no, we are under the law. You cannot mess up even one time. In fact, you're not doing sacrifices. You're not stoning people. So you're not keeping the law anyway. If you mess up once, you're no longer blameless, no longer keeping his law, you are in big trouble because you're trying to be saved by your own righteousness. You ever hear those words before? If you haven't, you will. If you believe, if you try keeping Yahweh's word, eventually you'll hear it. Let's give it time. Yahweh never dealt with people that way. As far as you got to be perfect or I'm going to strike you down and kill you. But many interpret that, you know, through a Greco-Roman mindset. They say, well, you claim to keep the law and you better do this, you better do that, and you better do the other thing because you have to be perfect and you won't be a law keeper, you know. And you say you're denying grace and forgiveness if you don't go out and disobey the law. You think you got it all backwards. You see, if our hearts are truly yearning for the will of Elohim, and yet out of weakness we fail in some point, we do have an Elohim in heaven who is a forgiving and merciful Elohim. And he's willing to give us grace and mercy and forgiveness. It was true in Old Testament times also. It wasn't a New Testament concept only. Psalm 103 says, as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And so, you know, this is all nothing new. You know how great Yahweh's mercy is. If you were to walk east, and you could if you could walk on water and go across the ocean, and you went east, how far would you go before you stopped going east? You just keep circling the globe, right? You'd never stop. If you were to go west, the same is true the other direction. Now, it's not true of north and south. As soon as if you go north, hit the North Pole, you start going south again. Isn't that pretty amazing? So Yahweh said, east to the from the east to the west. And it's infinite in both directions. That's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. And if that's true, then we are blameless. We are righteous, upright people. If our transgressions are removed from us, then there's nothing for which we can be blamed. Because our transgressions are removed far from us. In fact, where are they? Isaiah 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone, Zechariah, Elizabeth, the psalmist who wrote Psalm 119, all of us have gone astray. All of us. We have turned everyone to his own way. We've all done it. But then there's a beautiful statement right here. Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he was willing to bear it for us. And he's bearing your iniquity right now. If you just are willing to cry out for forgiveness and cry out for wisdom. And for someone to tell you and say to you, because you want to keep his law, because you cry out for wisdom and understanding, that somehow, some way, you're denying his grace. They're the ones that not applying grace. They'll accuse you of not applying grace because you believe in keeping the law. It's they who are not applying grace. It is those who cry out to Yahweh for forgiveness and those who diligently seek the right way to live who are the recipients of his mercy. Those who fear Elohim. And Yahweh will see us like he saw David. Even though David sinned with Bathsheba, he will say, you were a people. You walked in the integrity of your heart and uprightness. David cried out, oh, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51, after he sinned with Bathsheba. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, that the bones that you've broken may rejoice. And Yahweh forgave him. He says, I put away your sin. Where did he put it? Right here. This is where he put it. He laid it on Yahshua. He couldn't be blamed anymore. Yahshua took the blame. He took the blame. He says, I'll take it. Put it on me. Isn't that freeing? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that the power of grace? Yes! And if that doesn't inspire you to not want to do it anymore, what will? Because of what he went through for you. Don't trample on his grace like a cursed thing, a common thing. Have the attitude of a child who loves his daddy and wants to be like his daddy. Like Yahshua did. If there's any confusion about where grace applies, many times just understand a father-son relationship and how it's supposed to be, and you'll understand it. He wants to give you grace. He wants you to be like him. He's the only perfectly righteous example. He's the only one worth following. So many people out there, don't stay in their counsel. Don't sit in their seats. And don't walk in their ways. Let your delight be in the law of Yahweh. Let it be your meditation day and night. That's the pathway of blessing. Thank you, Father Yahweh, for this pathway of blessing you set before us. And we desire your favor and your mercies and your grace in our life. We thank you that there is a place to put all of our sin, all of our wicked deeds. Yahweh, fill us. We want to see wondrous things out of your law. We don't want to be blind. Open our eyes so that we may see these things. And forgive us, Father, where we have not been diligent, not been zealous in our pursuit of the shepherd's voice. Let us not be deceived anymore into thinking the shepherd's voice is anything different than the shepherd that spoke in Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Let us walk as he walked, and thereby manifest your holy and righteous image. And keep us from temptation, from every plan and path and idea and precept and principle that the enemy is seeking to confuse us with. And by your Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. For truly yours is the kingdom and power and glory and majesty, and all praise, honor, and worship belongs to you, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh our Mighty One, forever and ever. In Yahshua's great name we pray.